Now let's come to the scriptures, and I want you to turn with me to Psalm 16. We considered verses 1 to 4 last time, and I want to consider verses 5 and 6 this evening. And I'm going to try this time to be a little more brief so we have time to pray, and we have enough time to pray. So verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 16. I'm sorry, verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 16. O Jehovah, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I should have read the first four verses, but because of time, I just read the two verses. You know that this psalm, the psalmist is speaking about preservation. I mentioned how often in the scriptures, the psalmist and all of God's inspired writers speak about prosperity. And then we mentioned that even in the very first verse, he speaks about the foundation of this prayer, which is, for in you, preserve me, O God, for in you I have put my trust. We can trust in a lot of things. We can trust in our own faith. We can trust in our repentance. We can trust in our spiritual work. All these are false places of trust. Because first of all, we must not make our faith, which is God-given, our God. And then the faith that we have is not perfect, neither is our repentance, neither is anything we do. They're not acceptable as merit or meritoriously before God. It is in God whom we trust. What an important reminder it is. Well, this evening, in verses 5 and 6, we have some of the most glorious words about the blessings that Jehovah has bestowed upon his people. And we have it in verses 5 and 6. We are in Psalm 16 and verses 5 and 6. So in verse 5, here is David's profound realization of the riches of the grace of God that is bestowed upon David. And the first line says it all, verse 5 of Psalm 16. O Jehovah, you are the portion of my inheritance. You know, as you read this, my mind, of course, goes back to Genesis 15, where Jehovah comes to Abraham, who's been trusting the Lord's promises, and yet he has no child of the promise yet. And he asks Jehovah what he is going to do for him. And Jehovah says, I am your exceeding great reward. Remember in Genesis 12, he promises him a great progeny, that his children, nations will be born, kings will be born of his lineage, a blessed land of promise, and a great name, and to be a blessing to all the world. And in him, all the peoples of the world will be blessed. And so easy to concentrate on those things, but the Lord Jehovah corrects him and says, I am your great reward. Just, I think it was last night, but I read it this morning. One of our people sent me a little quotation without really knowing what I'm going to speak today. But here it is. This is how we minister to one another, isn't it? The Spirit uses one to minister to another. It's a quotation from the great Puritan Thomas Watson. Of course, that would be a tautology, or it's more than required to say the great Puritan. All the Puritans were great. But here's one great even among the Puritans, and this is what he says. And it refers to Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. The first part, of course, has to do with guaranteeing protection. If you know the context of Genesis 14, you know that makes sense. I don't want to get into it because I am trying to speak in a briefer way. But if you know that, the context, you know that is extremely reassuring. But the great promise here is, I am your exceedingly great reward. And this is what Thomas Watson says about this, and I quote, this was sent to me. Nothing besides God can be the saint's reward. See how well he puts it? Nothing besides God can be the saint's reward. And we concentrate on everything else, the blessings of God. And this is the great sin that we are told about in Romans 1, that we worship the gifts rather than the giver. And we have to search our hearts. You know, all these have been my words, but the first line belongs to the great Puritan. Nothing besides God can be the saint's reward. And then I continue the quotation. Nothing on earth can be their reward. The glamour of the world dazzles men's eyes, but like the apples of Sodom, it does not so much delight as delude. The world is gilded emptiness, Proverbs 23:5. The world is made circular, the heart in the figure of a triangle. A circular cannot fill a triangle. The world is enough to busy us, but not to fill us. But why is the earth not able to fill the human heart? Because the human heart is the soul, is made in the image of God. Only God can fill man's soul and satisfy him. And then he continues, heaven itself is not the saint's reward. Whom have I in heaven but thee? The beauty of heaven is not the place itself, but who resides in the heavens. And the great blessing of God's word to us is that he is our exceeding great reward. See, we understand this. Then every circumstance of life is sweetened. And the bitterness of the difficult and the dark and the distressing days is mellowed by the glorious truth that God himself is our reward. If only I could get my understanding rooted in this. Instead of that, what do? We flit around with pleasures on earth and even that of heaven and so on. But it is God who is our portion. And that is exactly what the psalmist says here. O Jehovah, you are my portion. You are my inheritance. I know if you've read the book of the Revelations many times, and you think of the streets of gold, and the glorious city, and all those things. But you see, The blessing of heaven is God Himself. He is our inheritance. How infinite, how great, how glorious is that blessing. And we must speak this to ourselves every day. I'm sure you've all heard of the miser. He was a very wealthy man. And his greatest pleasure was to lock himself in his treasure house and count his wealth. As opposed to today, people who have extreme wealth would look at their portfolio, how the stock markets fare and how their investments are faring. And most sensible people have an idea of their assets and liabilities. And we must take stock of our spiritual blessings day by day, as if, like that miser, lock ourselves in with God, whether we are in the midst of people or otherwise. Think of the infinite treasure we possess in our great God and Savior. Well, secondly, and when we come to prayer, I trust all of us, at least in our hearts, will reassert this. Oh, Jehovah, you are my portion, and praise Him for it. Here's where we must begin. And then he says something interesting as an addition in that sentence. O Jehovah, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. He's saying Jehovah is his cup. What does he mean by that? Well, cup contains a drink that satisfies your thirst. He's saying that his thirst and his hunger and his longing is truly satisfied in Jehovah and only in Jehovah. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ picks this very doctrine up, does he not? In John chapter 6 and verse 51, this is what he says. I am the living bread. Here he's saying, you are my cup. Bread is for eating, and the cup, the contents of the cup is for drinking. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. You notice the picture there. It's not something the Lord gives. It is He Himself who is our bread and our cup. Wonderful words for the communion table, isn't it? To remind us as we break the bread and as we drink the grape juice, we think of that not simply as the blood that was shed for us, that's true, but He Himself is our nourishment. And He is our sustenance. He is the delight and the pleasure of our lives. Because eating and drinking is not merely sustenance. For God has given us food to be enjoyed. Eating is and drinking is that which fills the heart with joy and pleasure. And God is our, not just sustenance, but He is our joy and pleasure. In that same chapter, John chapter 6 and verse 53, he says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Because he's speaking in spiritual terms. We drink in all that is true about Him, which sustains us. Well, thirdly, first of all, that He is our inheritance. Secondly, He is our cup, He is our nourishment. is our bread, is our drink. And thirdly, he says, in the same verse, the first verse, you maintain my lot. God is not only our inheritance, but he is the one who protects our inheritance. We've been through 1 Peter twice over the years, or once fully and once partly. Recently, we did part of the first chapter. And if you remember, in the first five verses, the apostle reminds us of the glorious inheritance we have. And he says, he reserves that inheritance in heaven for you, and he preserves us for his inheritance. That's what's being taught here. You maintain my lot. You do not have to maintain your inheritance. It's not in our capacity to do so. We have certain commitments and we have certain duties, but it's the Lord who maintains it for us. Just like he's the one who maintains our life. Remember, we considered in Habakkuk during this COVID season. He's the one who numbers our days. We don't have to be frightened like the pagans that our life is going to be taken away. Be all paranoid, because it's the Lord who maintains both our physical life and our spiritual life. How glorious is this gospel? It's not merely forgiveness of sin, not merely extension of life after death. It's not merely heaven. All that is a byproduct of the glorious truth that he is our inheritance. He is our nourishment and delight. And he maintains our inheritance or our lot. And verse 6 is really an affirmation of the glorious, wonderful beneficence of God. Look at verse 6. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. I remember years ago I was staying with Peter Rowell and his wife Kathleen. This was 2002 or 3. Christina and I were staying with them, and one day I woke up early. This was during the holiday period. And Peter, when I came downstairs, he was in his study and he said, come with me to the kitchen. He was standing there, he was making a cup of tea, and he looked out the window and he said, as I stand here, I often reflect on Psalm 16 and verse 6. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. It's a reflection. It's almost like if you're hungry, you can swallow your food. And you see some people doing that. You're not supposed to do that. It's one thing to swallow your food. It's another thing to taste it, to delight in it. That's the kind of thing the psalmist is doing here. There's the doctrine, and then he is tasting the truth of that doctrine, the sweetness of these things. You notice he's speaking to Jehovah in verse, oh, Jehovah, you are my inheritance. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. You know, the Bible is full of infinite understatements, if I can put it that way. This is one of those. I have a good inheritance. is one of the greatest understatements in literature. It's one of the greatest understatements in the Bible. What he means by this is that I have the best and the greatest of inheritances. And no matter what our experiences, no matter how we feel, the truth of the matter is that we are of all people most blessed, beyond any ability of human beings to imagine, let alone calculate. No matter what our difficulty is, this hymn that we are going to sing does not capture the entirety of what verses 5 and 6 are saying. But the hymn that we are going to sing, hymn number 85, William Cooper's, gives us an insight to some of the aspects of the blessings of God's people. Let me read a couple of verses. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. The clouds ye so much dread, clouds of darkness and distress and trials and difficult providences. We're not only to take fresh courage, we're to take deep joy in the fact that through all these things, God is preparing us for our ultimate experience of inheritance, which is God Himself. He's our food and He's our drink, He's our delight, He's our joy, He's our life, He's our blessing. So as we come to Him this evening, may we bless Him from the very depths of our hearts. Never forget these verses. By the way, this verse is akin to Jeremiah 10:16, isn't it? The portion of Jacob is not like unto them, for He is the maker of all things. For Jehovah Himself is our inheritance. May we know something of this truth and not let it go, but meditate in our hearts and let it become the joy and the pleasure that it should be increasingly in our prayer and in our life as our foundation. Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 85, and I'm going to ask Andy to begin in prayer and then pray as you're led. Hymn number 85.